I'd like to speak for a few minutes about the issue of buying products before Pesach, namely milk and meat, that are not specifically certified. Is that allowed or is it not allowed? Is a person allowed to buy chicken and meat before Pesach that normally is much cheaper than the food a person would buy on Pesach, or does a person need even in advance a special hashgacha certifying that it is kosher for Pesach? Sounds like a simple question, but that question goes to a far larger, far more complicated issue within the world of chametz. And let me try to lay out some of the framework of where that issue comes from. We know that the din of chametz is a unique din. Chametz is something unlike most other yisurim, where the iser is the iser of kares, excommunication for eating the shiur, the measurement of chametz. And as a result of that, and partially as a result of the fact that it's something that is in our homes, we're used to eating, lo b'dilei minei, we're not used to separating from it, so we know that the yisurim are much more severe, much more serious when it comes to chametz. And we also know that as a result of that, anything with chametz, any tarovas also is viewed in a very serious way. And the Rishonim, the Gemara, the Rishonim, they discuss three different levels of tarovas, three different levels of mixtures. We have a mixture of kezayis ptuch de'achilas pras, which means that there is a significant amount of chametz that might be in that mixture, even though it's not all chametz, not chametz gamor, it's a very significant proportion is that of chametz, and the punishment for eating that is a machlokas rishonim, but many people believe it's also in iser karetz, even eating the tarovas, not just even if the chametz was pure chametz. There's a second level. The second level is a significant amount of less than kezayis b'doch kezayis prat, and that also the food is not batel, the food is not negated, but it's not an iser kares if you eat it. That would be category number two. And the category number three is what we call an iser mashehu, namely it's a very, very small amount. It's an infinitesimal amount. It's 1 in 60, or 1 in 100, or 1 in 200, 1 in 500. But yet we say that chametz is not batel. So even though normally the halachos of Yisurim is that if you have, let's say, a little bit of milk and meat, or a little bit of treif and senes kosher, so that's batel, let's just say 1 in 60, it would not be true when it comes to chametz. Now, that's true when it comes to a mixture that is created on Pesach itself. If it's a mixture that was created or existed before Pesach, so there is the potential for there being bittul, but there are certain stringencies even with that din of bittul that existed before Pesach. Namely, you have a mixture that was created 6 months ago, so yes, you're right, the chametz is batel because it's taking place before the beginning of Pesach, but even that has a stringency. Namely, the stringency is that normally there are two different worlds when it comes to bittul. There is, let's say, lach b'lach, liquids that are mixed together with liquids that integrate completely, integrate totally, and halach in that case is that 1 in 60 is batel. Namely, you need 60 times the amount of heter than iser. When it comes to yavesh b'yavesh, dry objects that do not integrate as well, we know the halacha is, it doesn't have to be 1 times 60, all it has to be is batel b'rov. There has to be a majority. If there are 3 kosher hamburgers, 1 non-kosher hamburger, that has negated the iser there. Now when it comes to chametz, that is batel before Pesach, what most Rishonim believe is that even if you have dry objects, yavesh b'yavesh, that is not batel b'rov, but rather you need shishim. So we have, even in that case where there is bittul before Pesach, we have that added stringency. So just to recap, we have three tremendous chumras when it comes to tarovas. A, that even a tarovas, a mixture of chametz, if it's the right proportion, eating it is an iser kares, number one. Number two, on Pesach itself, there is no batel pishishim. And number three, that even the bitl that takes place beforehand, we do not apply the normal halachos of yavesh v'yavesh is batel barov, rather has to be batel pishishim. The Rishonim, as a side note, discuss why. Why are we so machmir in this halacha of bitl? Why is in most isurim something is batel? Why in this case is there an iser mashu, namely that even 1 in 60 is not enough? So what some Rishonim say is that it again goes to the stringency of the chumrah or the nature of chametz. Because chametz is an iser kares, therefore it has like a trickle-down effect that if it's kazayis tochlechas pras, it's also kares. If it's 1 in 60, it's not batel. Because the identity of the object of the chetza is so severe, therefore that creates a scenario where bitl, where negating the object, is impossible. There's another opinion brought down by the Rambam, and the Rambam says that this is a very unique din in bitl, which is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. But even though chametz at this moment is aser, it's something that in 2 days from now, 5 days from now, a week, a month, it's going to be mutter. So the very nature of it is that it's a davar hetera. It's a permissible object. And bitl only works when you have a fundamental heter object, which negates something that is fundamentally aser. And the heter then negates the iser. That's the normal bitl. When it comes to chametz, because fundamentally even that object itself is fundamentally heter, therefore no bitl, no negation can take place, no negation is effectuated, and therefore no bitl takes place, even if it's 60 times 1 or 100 times 1, 1,000 times 1, there's no possibility for bitl. That's the position of the Rambam. There's a fascinating shaila about the following. There's a shaila raised by the Rambam and by the Rush about the question of, let's say something is batel from before Pesach. You have 60 times 1, 100 times 1. And so it's negated already. And there are a lot of objects that this would take place with where that chumrah, where that iser is negated before Pesach because it's in the tarovet, and it's more than 60 times the amount of iser that is in the tarovet. Do we hold by a din called chozer v'neir? Chozer v'neir means that even though it was negated from before Pesach, once Pesach begins, the iser shabo, the iser that's in the tarovet, chozer, goes back to v'neir and awakens again. Namely, that once the clock strikes 8 o'clock on Pesach night, and Pesach has begun, it's almost as though that has reawakened, or that has awakened the iser in the tarovet. So the Rosh Paskins, we don't say chozer v'neir. Once it's batel, it's batel. Pesach does not awaken the isuro shabo. And the Rambam Paskins, no, we do hold this din of chozer v'neir. We Paskin, the Ramah, has a compromised middle position. Namely, if it's something that the mixture is lach b'lach, it is totally, totally integrated, it's become one whole mixture, you can no longer see or sense the iser that's in that mixture. So once it's negated from before Pesach, it's negated, we don't say chozer v'neir, and we adopt the position of the Rush. If, however, it's yavesh b'yavesh, namely particles that are still discernible, and therefore the chametz, in a way, is still sort of alive and well, so even though it might have been negated from before Pesach, once Pesach begins now, we say, hello again, chozer v'neir, that tarovet has come back. So we would say that by yavesh b'yavesh. That adoption of the position of the Rambam, of chozer v'neir, when it comes to yavesh b'yavesh, is the reason for what we colloquially call 18-minute matzos, namely that every less than 18 minutes, the matzah machines are cleaned out. That way, there are no teeny particles of bread or matzah that might now be chametz, because those teeny particles might integrate themselves, attach themselves to the matzahs, and therefore you would have small pieces of chametz that are together with the matzah. So even though it was batel, because it's a very, very small amount, because we're concerned about chozer v'neyur that's going to come back and reemerge and be reawakened, we don't want to take that chance, and therefore we clean up the machines less than every 18 minutes before any chametz can manifest itself or rear its head. Now, all this goes to the question about buying products from before Pesach that are not specifically kosher Pesach. Because the issue is, as I'm sure many people are aware, that when animals are fed, they're fed vitamin D. Vitamin D might have some chametz particles in them. There are other ways in which the animals have perhaps been mixed with chametz. This is something which is discussed at length in the poskim. So if it's something that took place from before Pesach, and we assume it's lach b'lach, namely totally integrated, we can't see that chametz now, we can't sense that chametz now, therefore, because it's before Pesach, therefore bittul has taken place, it's been negated, now we can shech that cow, drink that milk, whatever else we might do, because something that process took place from before Pesach, therefore it's batel. We don't say chozer v'neyur because it's lach b'lach. If, however, we are dealing with the shayla on Pesach itself, milk, meat, chicken, etc., then we have to go back to what we mentioned a few minutes ago, namely that on Pesach itself, there is never, ever bittul. It can be 1,000 times, 10,000 times, but the nature of chametz, either because the reason of the Yisr Kareis or because of the Rishayish Matirin, is that there's no bittul that takes place on Pesach, and therefore we can never eat anything on Pesach unless we specifically say that it's Kashul Pesach, because the steps have been taken to guarantee that there's no chametz mixed in with the animal or the other products, and therefore it has to be specifically certified for Pesach, something that we would buy on Pesach itself. Okay, so that's the halacha about bittul, about chozer v'neyur, about why there's no bittul, the difference between before Pesach and on Pesach, and all of us should be supercilious, all of us should be conscious about this important issur of chametz, what it reflects, what it represents, why it's something that we're so serious about, and all of us should have a chag kosher v'sameach. Thank you.